The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Why don't you turn your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 5. The book of Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. We were able to have our son home for a few days for the holiday, and we had to take him back yesterday, and as we were driving, my wife wanted to stop for something, so I said, sure, honey, let's do that, and she said, you know what, you're being kind of extra nice to me today, she said, I understand why, and I said, how's that, honey, you know I love you, and she says, well, you're preaching tomorrow, and you want God's power upon your life, and you want God's blessing upon your life, and if God's going to give you blessing and power, one way is you have to be nice to me. And then she says, well, I need a new dress, and I need a new hairstyle, I need new shoes, a new purse, and new earrings, and a new necklace. And she kind of looked at me, you want God's power? You want God's blessing? So turn to Galatians chapter 5. Let's stand together if you physically can. Galatians chapter number 5, and let's look at verse number 13. Galatians 5 and verse 13. The Bible says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the joy and privilege we have to come and to worship you, to praise you, to give unto you. Now, Father, we've come to this point of the service to receive from you. I pray that you would give us truth that would encourage us, strengthen us, renew us. And we pray if there's one that's here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that before they leave, they would accept the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation. May your will and way be accomplished in all of our hearts and lives, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you noticed that we all want and we all love our freedom? Now think about it. Just a few weeks ago, you know, kids got out of school, and boy, they were so excited about it. Because then they have what? Summer break, and they had their what? Freedom. And the teachers were probably even more excited that it was summer break, so they could have some freedom. I don't know about our dog, Jasmine. She loves her freedom. Now we got to be careful about Jasmine, because sometimes Jasmine is in the house, and she'll try to sneak out that front door and kind of run around the backyard and go to the backside of the desert because she loves her freedom. You think about it, even single adults, maybe they get in a relationship and it's not going too well, and they kind of break that relationship off, and then they have that freedom once again. They don't have that pressure and that, you know, that just all those requirements to nurture that relationship. They're free. Then you think about teenagers. You know, they want to be free. They make statements like, I can't wait till I turn 18. And then I'll have my freedom. It's amazing. When our kids turn 18, they stayed home. You know, 15, 16, 17. Hey, I want my freedom. When they turn 18, they realize the privileges and the blessings of home life. And you think about adults. You know, we want, you know, financial freedom. You know, and we'll even go to seminars and, you know, Financial Peace University. And I'm thinking, Dave, where were you 30 years ago? You know, because, you know, we want to be debt-free. And then as we grow and we get older in life, we get concerned about our health. And we start dieting. You know, we go on a cholesterol-free, a sugar-free, a carb-free, a gluten-free, a meat-free, and a diet-free diet. My question is simply this: what's left to eat? You know, this past Friday, our country celebrated its 238th birthday. I don't know about you, but I am thankful that I live in America. And I'm thankful for the blessings that we live in a free country so that we can worship as we choose. I'm thankful for those that fought for our freedoms and have taken a stand. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we live in a free country. Now here in the book of Galatians, Paul is writing to these believers about spiritual freedom. These believers came to Christ through faith and through the grace of God, putting their total trust in Christ and Christ alone. However, there's a group of people that kind of came into the church and started to promote a false gospel. They taught that a person was saved through faith, but also by keeping of the law. They were known as Judaizers. And in the first chapter, Galatians chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul writes some strong words to these people that were promoting a false gospel. He even said, made a bold statement like, they should be accursed if they preach another gospel. Because there's only one gospel, and that's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 11, verse number 6, for if it be by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, you can't mix the two. It's either one or the other. It's not a combination of both of them. And Paul is writing to these believers at Galatia and said, listen, salvation is a work of God's grace to mankind. And you and I, what we need to do is put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Aren't you thankful it's a gift? Aren't you thankful that you don't have to work your way to heaven? Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross of Calvary, and all we have to do is accept it as a free gift, not of works, lest any man should boast? Now, we all want to encounter spiritual freedom. And when we do personally experience this liberty, man, it brings so many different emotions to all of us. I remember recently witnessing to a young man, about 22 years old, and sharing the gospel with him. And at first, he was resisting and thinking in his mind that he kind of crossed that line where he went too far and got too much into the world, where he thought that no way would God love somebody like me. And as I began to share the scriptures with him, you just saw his eyes opening up to the spiritual truth that, hey, God could love somebody just like him. And boy, it was so exciting to see how he began to understand the truth of the gospel and how Jesus came. He went to the cross and took his sins upon himself, and how Jesus gave his life so that he might live. And boy, after I witnessed to him, he prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior. And as Juan looked at me, he said, I don't know what just took place. He said, this burden is gone. Amen. He said, I was carrying something on my shoulders that was so heavy, but now it's gone. And tears began to flow down his face. And he put his hands on my shoulder and he said, thank you for sharing that truth with me. Aren't you thankful that someone shared that truth with you? And what a wonderful joy to know that we are saved. Now this morning, let's look at four principles that will help us to understand our spiritual freedom. So we're going to kind of dive into this. And I know some of you, a lot of you are saved this morning. You know Christ as your Savior. There may be some here this morning. You're not sure about your eternity. But I pray for the believer that once again we would just revel in the goodness of God, just in the blessed truth that we're saved, that we're heaven bound, and that we know Him as our Lord and Savior. Now, first of all, we'll look at our calling is sure. Our calling is sure. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called. Did you ever have to fly by standby? Maybe it's a friend ticket, and boy, that's nerve-wracking, especially when you have a family of six like ours. And I tell you what, you kind of pray, Lord, I pray that there be 5-6 people that overslept and don't get to the airport in time. And Lord, I pray that there's a traffic jam. Lord, I hope they don't get in an accident. But Lord, just make them late. And you start praying because you want them, you want them to call your name. Jerry Furshall, please come up to the counter. And it's like, all right. And you're so excited about that. But you think about it, you're hoping, listen, that you would take someone else's seat. Now they already paid for that seat. But you're hoping that they don't show up so that you can kind of slip right in there. Now here, think about it. Aren't you glad God doesn't work that way? Aren't you glad that God doesn't say to us, well, I hate to tell you this, but our flight is full and you can't get on this plane. You have to wait for the next flight, possibly. Aren't you thankful that we can be sure of our salvation? Man, and this surety comes from two realities. First of all, it's founded upon God's word. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's why the Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing the word of God. The Bible tells us in John chapter 5 and verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I'm so glad that as a teenager who was religious but lost, went to church, did a lot of religious activities, but lost. I'm so thankful I sat in a church just like this, where the preacher stood up and preached, thus saith the Lord, and preached the cross and Jesus high and lifted up, and I'm thankful that he rescued me from my sin. Boy, I'm so thankful for that. I never want to get over of the simple truth that I'm saved. I'm saved. Now, it's not because I'm a good person. It's not because I deserve it. It's because he loves me. And listen, you're saved this morning not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it, just because he loves you and you've accepted that wonderful truth. That's why I believe it's imperative that as believers that we share this truth to everyone that we possibly can. Always remember, somebody came to you. Someone came to you with the word of God and shared the truth to you. Man, I feel a sense of responsibility because of what God has entrusted to me. That, man, I got to tell someone else about this. And it's amazing. When I got saved as a teenager, I thought this, about witnessing, sharing your faith. Man, I said, man, that preacher needs to do that. Man, I'm so thankful evangelists do that. I'm so thankful for the missionaries that do that. I didn't realize that God wanted me to do that as a teenager. Listen, God wants to use all of us to share this life-changing message to everyone that we possibly can. Oh, what a great truth that God sent somebody to you and to me. I love what Acts chapter 4 and verse 4 says. Very simply, it says, howbeit many of them which heard. Now listen, when's the last time you spoke or you shared the truth of God's word so that somebody might hear? They got to hear. We've got to open up the truth so that they would hear about what Jesus has done for them. Listen, if they don't hear, they'll never get saved. They've got to hear. And I believe that's our responsibility. We've got to share the bread of life to those that are hungering and those that are thirsting, those that are lost. We need to take the truth of God's word to them and share with them. But the Bible says, which heard, and then it says, then they believed. Isn't that simple? Boy, they hear and then they believe. But the second reality is this. Not only is it founded upon the word of God, but then it's produced by the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we shall be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Boy, what a wonderful truth that as the Word of God is being shared with somebody, that the Spirit of God then begins to work in their life and they begin to realize their need for a Savior. I love what the Bible says in John chapter number 16. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples about his soon departure, he was telling his disciples, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that will indwell you, that will comfort you, that will guide you, that will even empower you to carry forth the message in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us here the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Look in your notes in John chapter 16. Begin with verse number 8. And when he has come, referring to the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now that word reprove means to reveal. It means to bring to light. Now I remember as a teenager sitting there hearing the message, and I didn't realize at that moment it was the Holy Spirit, but he was bringing to light my sin. And as I sat there in that service, I'm wondering, does everybody know what sin I've committed? I mean, it felt like, boy, my sins were being, you know, broadcasted up on, you know, on the billboards. Man, I was nervous. But you know what? That was the conviction of the Spirit of God in my life, revealing to me of my sin. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Man, I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God is working and is calling and wooing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, as we think about just, you know, our calling is sure because it's based on the Word of God. And it's produced by the Holy Spirit of God. But second of all, we see the confidence is strong. Our confidence is strong. Verse 13 again says, for brethren, you've been called. Listen, but we've been called unto what? Liberty. Liberty, a sense of freedom. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free. Listen, you didn't make yourself free. This church didn't make you free. Your baptism didn't make you free. Your devotion, because you're an American, didn't make you free spiritually. We are free because of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful truth? He says, stand fast. Hold, listen, don't allow this wonderful truth to slip from you. Man, rest in this. Persevere when the trials come. You stand strong, trusting and relying upon the truth of God's Word. Stand strong, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Jesus offers liberty because of his work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Now the law, right, the Ten Commandments, guess what that offers? Bondage. You have to obey every jot and every tittle. Every single one. You know, you think about those 10 commandments, they're not 10 suggestions. Amen? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Wow. Have you told a lie? Guilty. Thou shalt not covet. Do you ever see something, want something? Thou shalt not murder. You say, well, brother, first, come on, we're in the church house. Well, Jesus raised the bar up a little bit in the New Testament. He says, if you have hatred towards someone else, you've already committed murder in your heart. Do you ever hate somebody? Boy, you know what the law reveals to each and every one of us? We're guilty. We're guilty. Boy, we are guilty. I love what Patrick Henry stated. He said, it cannot be emphasized too strong or too often that this great nation was not founded on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this in the Gospel of John, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is that truth? Jesus told us in John chapter 14, verse number 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man, what a wonderful truth to know that we can be free from sin and the consequences of sin, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. In what ways can we be liberated? In what ways are we liberated? Let me give you three quick thoughts regarding this. First of all, we're free from the penalty of sin. We're free from the penalty of sin. Look, Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he, Jesus, might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and of our Father. Galatians 2, verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Boy, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Listen, what the Bible is declaring to us, that there's no possible way for you to work your way to heaven. Impossible. No flesh is justified by the keeping of the law. All the law does, the Bible says in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The law was there to reveal to us our need. And thank God Jesus came and he fulfilled the law and he offers to us the wonderful gift of salvation. Now, when you are justified, now, listen, when you are justified, you stand before God as if you never sinned. Right. Now, let that sink in, because we're all sinners. There's not a perfect person in this room. But when you get justified, you are declared righteous on the basis of Jesus Christ. Hey, do you realize that you stand before God right now? If you're saved, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are justified before a holy God. You want to say, we all want forgiveness. We all want that. A couple weeks ago, we had a great music night. We had Patch the Pirate here. And so we talked to our granddaughter, you know, Abby. She's 5. And I said, Abby, you want to come to big church with Poppy? That's what they call me, Poppy. And Nani, and you could hear Patch the Pirate. And she said, oh, yeah, can we sit with you? And said, sure. We sat right there, second row. And boy, she was riveted on Patch the Pirate. Boy, when he pulled out that sword, and as he was leaning that song with that sword, boy, she was singing along. And I'm sitting here thinking, boy, that's my granddaughter. Man, isn't she a little angel? And I said, man, I am so proud of her. And I'm kind of looking around, hey, that's my daughter. That's my granddaughter. Hey, Brother Chris is here. Yeah, she's singing. What we forgot to tell Abby was after the singing, there's preaching. And Brother Gibbs gets up, and I thought, oh, you know, Brother Gibbs, he's going to just keep her just riveted right to him. Boy, it took about 5 seconds for her to start squirming. I was waiting for one of the ushers to come tap me on my shoulder and say, sir, can you please remove that child immediately? But because we sat right on the second row, no usher came to us. And then she started making these noises. And then she started kicking me. You know, that little angel, just, you know, 3 minutes ago, now she's turning into a little demon. And I looked at Nani and I looked at my wife and said, honey, do something. That's your granddaughter. Do something. And she's like, what do we do? I said, take her out. No. I said, woman, submit to me, take her out. No. And so we sat there, and I said, Lord Jesus, please come quickly. Man, I tell you what, it was a rough service. Some of you that sat by, you remember that. Man, I said, honey, you got that spoon? You know, when our kids grow up, that was the secret weapon in church, was this little spoon. And boy, all the kids had to do, listen, all they needed to see that spoon. And boy, boom, they sat up. I said, you got that spoon? And boy, I said, Brother Gibbs, just preach quick. And I love Brother Gibbs, but man, I tell you what, Abby was getting the best of me. And I'll be honest with you, I was embarrassed. I was concerned that maybe people around was getting distracted. Now I'm thinking, you know, this is a little sinner. I mean, what a sinner she is. She called me up that night through tears, crying, "Poppy." "What, Abby?" "I'm so sorry for being bad in church. I shouldn't have kicked you. I shouldn't have made all those noises. Will you forgive me?" "I forgive you." "Thank you, Poppy. I love you." "Well, I love you too, Abby. You go to bed now." 2 days later, she's over at the house. And I said, "Abby, I said, what happened in church? You were a bad girl." She said, "Poppy, you forgave me already." I thought, Brother Gabe, they're teaching those kids too quickly in the kindergarten class. Man, we all want forgiveness. Aren't you glad this morning you're forgiven? Aren't you thankful that just that penalty of sin has been removed from you if you're saved and you are righteous before a holy God this morning? Hey, we're liberated from the penalty of sin. But not only that, hey, it gets better. We're also free from the power of sin. That's sanctification. Now, Abby's still in the process of being sanctified. She's not even saved yet, but she needs to get sanctified really quick. But here it is. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead," here it is "freed from sin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Man, I love that little phrase there, "but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That word "alive" means to live. It means to breathe. It means to enjoy life, to be active. Not deadless, not lifeless, but being alive towards God. Let me ask you, are you alive towards this world? Or are you alive towards your Lord? Bible tells us we can't serve two masters. Either we love the one and hate the other. We cannot say, "I love the world." Can't live for the world and say, "I love the Lord." Can't have two masters. But also, we are free from the presence of sin. Of course, free from the penalty of sin, that's justification. Free from the power of sin, that is sanctification, where we are setting ourselves apart unto the Lord. And then free from the presence of sin, that's future, that's glorification. That's when we'll be, when we get to heaven, when we see Jesus, guess what? This mortal body is going to put on immortality. This body that aches and cracks and groans, one day will put on perfection. And when we see Jesus, listen, when we see him, hey, this is awesome. We will be like him. Amen. Isn't that cool? Now listen, as believers now, the Bible says if you're in Christ, old things are passing away. Behold, all things become new. Man, we're trying to shed off this old sinful lifestyle and these old habits, trying to take those off, and we're trying to put on the new. But listen, when we get to heaven, we will be like him. Look what the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 3. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him." Man, what a wonderful truth to realize as we journey through this life, that one day when we step into eternity, we're going to be like him. Our calling is sure and our confidence is strong. But we have a caution that's serious. But the Bible says, "For brethren, we have called you unto liberty." Here's our caution. "Only use not your liberty for the occasion to the flesh." God's word is instructing us not to use our liberty as the base of operation to serve our fleshly appetites. Yes, you are free and you have Christian liberty. But remember, sin is something you don't want to mess with. Sin is dangerous. Sin destroys. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because of your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Listen, Satan doesn't want to just wound you. Satan wants to destroy you. Now let's look at it real quick, the dangers of sin. First of all, sin blinds. Sin blinds us. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 9, verse 17, "Stolen walls are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." So many times I am blinded. Listen, I'm blinded by my own sin. It's amazing. I'm able to see sin in other people's lives. I could see how they're beginning to, you know, wander off that path. But for me, I think I kind of justify. Well, you know, my sin is not as bad as so-and-so's. And my own sin blinds me. At times you begin wandering from that path that God wants you to walk. And so many times, listen, we're not even aware that we're lost. We're not even aware that we've drifted from that point that we ought to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. And listen, the danger is this, is that we become okay with it. How many times have you talked to somebody that you're burdened for? You're not judging them, but you're burdened for them. A sincere love. You say, "Brother, I'm concerned for you." "I'm okay. I'm good." And it's like, wow, they don't even see it. I don't even see it. Sin blinds us, but sin also binds us. Proverbs 5, verse 22, "In his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." When sin gets its grip on you, when sin begins to sink its teeth in you, listen, it might be an unforgiving spirit. It might be pride. It might be greed. Listen, it might be apathy in your own spiritual life. You could sit in a service like this week after week, month after month, pastor's pouring his heart out, and it doesn't even move you. Sin binds. Sin blinds. But thirdly, sin grinds. Proverbs 11:19, "As the righteous tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth to its own death." The dangers of sin. Look up the screens. There's a little statement up there. Sin will take you farther than you're willing to go. Sin will cost you more than you're willing to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you're willing to stay. Church, brothers and sisters in Christ, sin is dangerous. It's not something to mess around with. But then we see the deliverance from sin. Now remember, Paul is writing this portion out to believers. He's saying, "Now listen, brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Now, only use your liberty, not for the occasion of the flesh. Don't use it for just to satisfy yourself. You've been delivered from that. Neither yield your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin hath not had dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know what Paul's writing? He's just saying, hey, listen, if you start going after sin, sin will be your master. But if you serve Christ and walk in that pathway of righteousness, Jesus will be your Lord and Savior. And number four, we see our command is straightforward. But by love, serve one another. Let me give you four quick thoughts regarding this. Number one is this: love defines who God is. Think of 1 John chapter number 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. One of the greatest characteristics of God is simply this: he's love. He loves you, he loves me, he loves everybody on this planet so much that he sent his son into this world to die on the cross of Calvary. God is love. Number two is this: love is the standard for every believer. Love is the standard for every believer. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Here it is. You want to just boil this book down to make it real simple for all of us? Here it is. Throw that statement up on the screen. Here it is. All the moral instructions from the scriptures are wrapped up in these two great commands. And at the heart of these two commands is one great directive. Here it is. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then the Bible says this: then love your neighbor. That one directive is simply this: is love. It's the love. We have been called to love one another. Let me ask you, are you living up to that standard? Are you a loving person? Can people look and say, boy, that's a loving and caring, a gentle man or woman? What makes them so loving? God and what he has done in my life. Oh, I pray that that's all of our desires. But then we see love breaks through and impacts people's lives. And some having compassion, making the difference. And number four, love identifies us as Christ followers. The Bible tells us in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one towards another. Now listen, you don't have to wear a t-shirt around the neighborhood that says Christ follower, Lancaster Baptist Church on the back. You don't have to wear a shirt like that around and say, you know what, love works. Here it is. Your life ought to depict that. Not the t-shirt, but your life. Now, as believers, listen. Do our lives reflect to this world, our community, your workplace, that you're a Christ follower? Or do you blend in with everyone else? I pray that we would understand the true liberty that Christ offers to us. Liberty from the law, that we find salvation in Jesus Christ and Him alone. But then we have the liberty, listen, not to sin, but to serve and to love. Who do you need to love? Who do you need to serve this week? There may be someone here this morning and you're not sure of your eternity. You're not sure if you died, if you'd go to heaven. Here's a wonderful truth, a life-changing verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're sitting in this room and you're not sure of your eternity, can I say something? You're in the right place. Because Christ offers to you freedom, liberty from sin. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.